This is the Old Testament reading from it's Exodus chapter 16, verses 2 to 4 in the New Revised Standard Version. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." And now it's verses 9 through 15. Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.' And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, 'I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God. In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'"
Hi, Brighton. I like your shades. Hi, Briley. Welcome back, Jack. Ella? Are you coming, Eliana? Okay. So when you go to a family gathering, do they have a kids' table or a children's table? The adults sit together and the kids sit together? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you sit at a smaller table. They had the glass and the china and everything. And then what did you guys eat on?
Sometimes we eat on the counter. Sometimes we eat on
a little
table.
Mm-hmm. Well, today I wanted to share a real story that happened to a friend of mine. And she went to a large family gathering. And there was an in-law, a relative. She was just not a very nice lady. She always had to be first in line, and she always had to make everyone else feel like they forgot something, or they were late, or they were missing something. And she just was always perfect and made people feel this big. And my friend got to the family gathering late. And the lady was really rude and mean to her. And she said, "Well, we have all the table and the food set, and we've already prayed, so you'll have to sit at the children's table." Now, my friend is in her 50s, and so she sat down at the children's table, and there's crayon marks on the table, and instead of having the nice feast that the adults were having with what her kids called the high-heeled glasses, they had plastic plates, plastic silverware, with Kraft mac and cheese and cut-up hot dogs. Right? Yeah.
I'll eat that.
And so when my friend Marilyn sat down, the kids just lit up. And they were so kind and nice to her. And the one boy turned next to her and he's like, "You want to see my treasure in my pocket?" And he pulls out, you know, his toy or car or something like that. And then the other girl shows her something. And they said, "Tell us about yourself." And she felt so welcome by those kids. They shared that love with her when the adults weren't very loving to her. And she told me about that. And she taught me a lesson that when we come to the communion table, it's really God's children's table. Because everyone is welcome. There's no status. There's no shame. There's no judgment. It's like when I was a new kid in school a lot. And when you go to a cafeteria and you're new and you don't know anyone, it's scary. And you pray and hope that there's the kid who says, come on over here and eat with us. So you don't have to eat by yourself. That's what we do here. All are welcome to come to Jesus' table. Would you like to pray? Okay. Jesus, thank you that your table is open to all who want to come. Thank you for loving us and that we don't have to have status and that we come to communion to eat your bread and drink from your cup. You're there to love us and receive us as we are. And the best treasure we can give you is not what's in our pockets, but it's ourselves and our hearts. So may we come to you today and give you your treasure, our hearts, at your table. Amen.
Chapter 6, verses 24 through 35. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, Rabbi, when did you come here? Jesus answered them, Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal. Then they said to him, What must we do to perform the works of God? Jesus answered them, This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. So they said to him, What signs are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing? Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said to them, Very truly I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. They said to him, Sir, give us this bread always. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. I learned a new word this week. Some of you might be familiar with it. It's a conflation of two different words. The word is hangry. Have you ever been hangry? Well, I looked up hangry in a slang dictionary online, and it says that hangry is when you are so hungry that your lack of food causes you to become angry, frustrated, or both. Some of us might be hangry when we're at a busy restaurant and the waitress or the waiter may forget to fill our glass of water and it's hot and we haven't got our food or the wrong thing comes. I've seen people get hangry then. Tragically, some people become hangry because their food supplies have been cut off and wars break out. The Israelites, wandering in the wilderness after their incredible exodus from out of slavery in the Egyptian Empire, after being led by Moses and the mighty hand of God and crossing the Red Sea, they were in the desert wandering for 40 years. And it wasn't long before they complained and grumbled to Moses. Really, they were complaining to God. about their lack of food, at least what they thought was food, the food they were used to eating, the food that they ate in chains from the flesh pots. They complained and grumbled about their lack of food. They were hangry. And last week we talked about how Jesus had been teaching this crowd that came to see him because of the ministry of his disciples. After they had been sent out two by two to proclaim, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. They healed the sick and they cast out demons. And the people recognized them, the followers of Jesus. They hadn't even met Jesus yet. And then Jesus and his disciples get out of the boat and there's already a huge crowd from all over the area. A larger crowd than any of the towns in the area. From all over. It'd be like if people came from Ophim and Alpha and Woodhull and Rio and they all came together out in the middle of the country. And Jesus had compassion on them, didn't he? He didn't feel sorry for them, but he was sorry with them. They were beginning to become restless and they were hungry and they were so far out in the wilderness, by the time they would have went back to the villages to get something to eat, they might not have all been fed because there were so many people and it was getting late. And that little boy came up to Jesus through the disciples and the disciples gave him this boy's lunch, right? 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus prayed to heaven, to God, blessed the bread, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples to give to them. And all ate and were fed, over 5,000 men. And that doesn't even include the women and children. And after this, Jesus dismissed them, and they went on their way. But then Jesus comes back again, and there's another crowd that we see. And they're seeking out Jesus. And Jesus answers the crowd and says to them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me, not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." See, we learned in the Gospel of Mark that Jesus amazed and astounded people because he taught with authority. And unlike the pretender King Herod, Jesus had real authority. And he had given that authority to his disciples to go out and do ministry, to proclaim repentance and to heal the sick and cast out demons, to go to the people that the church wasn't reaching, the people who couldn't make it to synagogue. Jesus had authority. And when I was reading this, I was praying and I realized that there's also a verse that came to mind from Song of Solomon that describes this holy love of God. "Set me as a seal upon your heart, a seal upon your arm. For there is love that is as strong as death, jealousy demanding as the grave." This seal wasn't just authority and power. This seal was that Jesus was God's beloved Son. God was all in on this one. He put all his chips in on his Son to come and save his children. Verse 28 says, "Then they said to him, 'What must we do to perform the works of God?'" What must we do? What did you teach your disciples so that they could do these miraculous things? They wanted the magic bullet. They wanted to know how to do it so they could replicate it and mass produce it to do these miracles. But really, who can perform God's works? It is God's work to do. His work, the whole, according to God's perfect will. We can't do the work of God, but God can do his work through us because of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. Verse 29 says, Jesus answered them. He said, not the works of God, but this is the work of God. And what is this work? He says that you believe in him whom he has sent. And who did God send to save his people? Jesus. So they said to him, well, what sign are you going to give us then? So that we may see it and then believe you. What work are you performing? Performing. How many of you like to perform? Performing. They're so focused on the doing that they're missing the being of God in the flesh in their midst. They're caught up in the doings and these signs that they're missing the presence. They're missing the relationship that is inches away from them, that has come to them to welcome them. But they want to do all these things instead of be like Jesus, which is what his disciples were learning. They were learning how to be like Jesus. And frankly, if we're looking for a sign, it's kind of like saying, I have to see it to believe it. And is that really faith? Today with the kids, we were singing a song called One Way. And there's a bridge that goes, you are the way, the truth, and the life. We live by faith and not by sight. We live by faith, not by sight. Then they go on to say, well, our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Well, let me tell you something about manna. Manna came because God heard the Israelites grumbling and complaining. They might not have had the manna if they hadn't grumbled and complained. Maybe God would have given them something that was more exciting. But instead, he provided this wonderful manna that didn't look anything like the food they'd ever had. And this manna collected almost like dew in the morning. And they would scoop it up and they'd have enough to eat no matter how much they ate. But they couldn't hoard it. And if they let it sit out the next day, it would spoil and go bad. But whoever ate the manna was full for the day. They were all satisfied for their daily needs. And when we pray the Lord's Prayer, we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Our daily bread. That we can come to God and he can give us exactly what we need. Because he created us. He knows what we need. And what we need often is more satisfying than what we want. And in the same way, these people were looking at Jesus through the eyes of what they thought was a Messiah. A political and military savior who would by force and political power and clout and politicking rescue them from the Romans. But Jesus came to be a different savior. He came to liberate us and to set us free and to take the authority of God to forgive sins and to set people free so that they could be healed and reconciled to God and to one another. It was so much more than the surface. And manna, the name manna means literally, what is it? That's what manna means in Hebrew. What is it? What is this? In the same way in the Gospel of Mark, people have been asking that question. Who is this? Who is this Jesus? Who is this man who teaches with such authority? This person who has compassion on all. This person who's willing to be interrupted by people from all walks of life. And yet those interruptions become people who are healed and set free. The insane who had demons no longer have demons. And they're in right mind. And the woman who had the issue of blood bleeding for years is healed. And he feeds 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. Who is this guy? But God in Christ provided for their daily sustenance. And now Jesus is getting to the heart of the matter. He says to them, very truly, I tell you, it's not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it's my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. See, the bread of God is more than bread. The bread of God is the Word. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. The bread of God is Jesus. Jesus himself, when he was tempted in the desert by Satan, says to respond to Satan's temptation, man does not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Well, Jesus is God speaking to us and being with us and responding to us. He is our answered prayer. Jesus is the Word made flesh. He is the bread of God that comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. So what do they say to him? Sir, give us this bread always. And Jesus shocks them again. And he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever, not just the Jews, whoever, Jews, Gentiles, anyone who wants, whoever comes to me will never be hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Whoever comes to Jesus will not hunger. And whoever believes in Jesus will not thirst. When we come to Jesus, we might not see Jesus in the flesh. But when we come to Jesus through one another, we see the love of God and we see the eyes of Christ looking at us when we love one another, when we forgive one another, when we feed one another, when we visit one another when we're alone and lonely or hurt or tired. And whoever believes in Jesus, that is putting your trust in Jesus, even though you can't see him today, but you see him with your heart. You just know that he is present because of this love you've experienced, that you will not thirst. There's a difference between hunger and thirst. And sometimes when we're dehydrated, it mimics the symbols of, or the pangs of hunger. You can go a long time without food, but you can barely go a day without water. Jesus is our daily bread, and his word is our daily bread, and the gospel is our daily bread. But Jesus himself, that relationship, is what we thirst for, to truly live, to be forgiven, to be set free, to be ourselves, to not have to try to be like what the world tells us we have to be or to keep up with the Joneses. But to come as we are, like little children with treasures in our pockets, to show Jesus. We hunger for Jesus, the bread of life. We thirst for eternal life and peace with God and one another. We crave a relationship with God incarnate, God in the flesh as his spirit dwells among us. Our God, who loves us enough to live a sinless life for us, was betrayed and crucified for us, yet raised from death to life for us. Our God, who saves us from our sins, saves me from my sins, saves you from your sins, and sets us free to live, forgive, and love, and live. Jesus Christ, the bread of life for us. Thanks be to God. Amen. Grant that we may go into the world in the strength of your Spirit to give ourselves for others in the name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May we embody Jesus Christ, the bread of life, in our everyday lives this week as we are led by the Holy Spirit to love God and love one another and to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, to announce that the time of the Lord's favor has come in Jesus Christ. Amen.